Do you have Dirk and or Luca's cell phone numbers?
No, I don't.
What's the matter with you guys? Just knuckle up and ask.
I'm sorry.
And say, oh, I need it for, I might have to.
I'm one step away, though. Like, I have people that can get direct lines to them.
That's not a real friend.
I'm no Steve Chavera. He's got everybody's number.
You need to get the tattoo. You need the trophy tattoo to show your.
Yeah. Well, he sends them all their photos. So it's like, oh, yeah, let me go and get your cell phone. So I can send you this photo and I'm like, come on, Steve.
We need you, this infiltration to continue.
Yeah.
Where you learn all this good stuff.
By this summer.
Where you're the fixer. They're calling you in the middle of the night to help them.
I'm Ray Donovan.
Yes. That's what I want.
Well, we're kind of planning a Slovenia-Latvia trip, so going to need some phone numbers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Off-season?
Yeah.
To both of their homelands?
Uh-huh. And maybe Madrid? Because they both played in Spain.
Would you like to bring an intern with you? As
the tables have turned.
And you're like, no.
And you're just not just ordering you around. Oh hey, God. Go get me some coffee
just
now.
Coffee shaking. I'm like,
coffee
yeah,
is cold, Soroy.
Throw it in my face.
Send
like,
it back.
Like Mugatu. Yeah. All right, so this is Mike Marshall. He is living his dream working with his favorite team, the Dallas Mavericks. And I don't know where to start because it's about the All-Star break. Let's start with that. You are leaving for Charlotte, yes, tomorrow morning,
9:40 a.m., a plane. Not with the team. They have their own private thing. It's just Luca and Dirk.
Okay.
Would have been Dennis, but he's on a different team now.
Yeah.
So it's Luca and Dirk are going, and they got their own private plane. But the team, the basketball ops people are going on. Different plane. But yeah, we're going out there for 4 days. Tomorrow is kind of get your feet on the ground. Friday's Rising Stars. Saturday is All-Star Saturday night with three-point contest, which Dirk is in, skills challenge and dunk contest. And then Sunday, Dirk in the All-Star game, man. Hopefully you get some good run.
So are you working your...
Yeah.
Okay.
Not really the events. It's more following the guys around. And kind of, I mean, you know, this might be the last All-Star game that Dirk ever goes to.
Sure.
So this is a pretty unique opportunity to follow him around and go ask people like, okay, if, you know, Bill Russell walks by, just talk to me about Dirk's legacy and get that on camera for, you know, what might be something at the end of the year. So,
and everyone's pretty accommodating out there because they understand, you know.
It's like a Super Bowl media day,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
It's like anything you've been to like that where everyone's kind of got a podium. Everyone knows that they're there to smile and answer your questions. So it's kind of more fun, more loose than it usually is.
All right, so let's dive right into it. You've been pretty high on Luka the entire time.
Yeah.
Right when they drafted him, that made your basketball pants go absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I was with you that night, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So now.
Wait, you were there the moment they got Luka?
I did, yeah.
What did he do? Just fall down a.
I had to leave. I could not
fell
stand
down in
the
a
scene.
Mess.
Right?
Yeah.
Did the worm.
Just in a. Just kind of balled up in the fetal position, kind of cry laughing all at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think it's quotable on terrestrial radio.
Right.
But
yeah.
Maybe for a podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
So you got the guy that you wanted, and I want to know your expectations going in, and I know they've exceeded them, but.
Oh, yeah.
You going into this season, what did you think was going to happen? Were to and compare that to what's happening right now.
Yeah, I thought we'd come out of this year and look back and go, okay, hey, 17 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, something like that. He's definitely a franchise cornerstone, a guy we can build around. And it went past that about the first 6 weeks where it became, okay, he's the guy to build an entire franchise around as a singular entity. He's going to score 20. He's going to get 7 assists. He's going to get 8 rebounds. And the offense is him. He's not a part of your offense. He is your offense. And I think about a month ago, whenever I came on with you and Peter, Mike, I said he's a top 10, top 12 player in the West. And I feel even stronger about that now. Mm-hmm. I'd say he's a top 10 player in the Western Conference. And Rick said something interesting, 2 games ago, I guess the last home game, the Portland game, whenever they came back, the big comeback. He said this final, you know, 30 games or so, what they're going to do, and it gives them a unique opportunity with the trades and with KP being out, they're going to put everything on his shoulders. Playmaking, scoring, rebounding, playing legit defense, and just see if he can handle it. Because necessity is the mother of invention, right? If nothing happens unless it absolutely has to. So they're putting all of the offensive burden on his shoulders. He's starting the plays. He's finishing the plays. He's the heart and soul of the entire thing. And you don't get that opportunity very often in a rookie season. They want to see if he can do it to see who they need to put around him. And he's exceeded all expectations I had probably 2 months into the season. So going forward, I think we've got – you need a one, and he's a one. He's not a 1B.
Right.
He's the dude to take you to a Western Conference Finals as soon as, you know, year three-ish.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. And it's almost we run out of things to say about him. Yeah. I mean, every game he does something that's like, okay. It's,
right.
It's like the greatest luxury for a guy on your team to do so much you don't even know how to say it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already there, and it's the middle of February. So I suppose then the Porzingis thing happens. That was maybe phase two of this that, in the eyes of what I think are many, accelerated this whole Luka timetable. I don't even know how to label any of this stuff, but it seemingly happened very quickly. Your thoughts on the decision to ship Dennis Smith and bring in Porzingis?
Yeah, I think over the last month, we've kind of all seen that the timetable has changed drastically, right? It was, let's kind of have a natural progression of things, and then it's, if we're not in the playoffs next year, we're probably not very happy about it. So that changes from let Dennis grow, figure out what we do this offseason, to if there's a top 20, top 25 player like Porzingis available, a guy that was a 23-year-old all-star, you do whatever you can to make that happen. And I don't know if y'all have seen a lot of him play or not, or are super familiar with him, but he's Dirk at 23. Back in year 2000, a 7-foot dude that could shoot like that was just the most bizarre thing you'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this dude's 7'3". And last season, it was only 50 games or so he played. He was the second best catch and shoot player in basketball. Steph Curry was the only one that was better. And he was the best rim defender in basketball by field goal percentage.
And that's inside and out. So it's
7'3". That doesn't happen.
Right, right.
That doesn't happen. That combination of skill set does not exist anywhere else in the league. Maybe, I mean, Joel Embiid flirts with it every once in a while, but he doesn't shoot that well from outside like Porzingis does. And to me, the entire trade and building up to it, they could have panicked and they could have sent Dennis somewhere whenever things were really weird for that week or two. But I'm really proud of them and I'm happy what happened because they didn't panic. They said, there's a deal out there. And they waited and they waited and they looked in the mirror and said, this starting lineup's not working.
And it was so stealth. Also, it was under the radar. And to flip DSJ for Porzingis is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Especially with a guy that it looked like he didn't want to be here, and it looked like the organization didn't want him to be here. And usually when you have that happen, you will get 10 cents on the dollar.
Right. You're going to sell it. Yeah. You're going to sell it 30 cents on the dollar.
Because you want everyone to be happy.
You're going
to
take a loss.
Right.
That's just how it's going to work out.
And the only loss you're taking is that you're not going to have this superstar stud on your court this year because he's rehabbing.
Right.
And it's next year you have.
When you let Luka learn his superpowers, too, in these final 30 games.
Right.
Like, I know the Porzingis timetable is kind of confusing for everybody, but whenever he injured his knee the first time, he said, I'm going to take this time to rehab the knee, number one, get that right, but also I'm going to work on my body a lot. And that's what he's been doing. He'll play next year whenever he's fully comfortable with his strength, his size, the weight he has, whatever his trainer's telling him to do, he's going to do it. And this was the long-term plan. So it's going to be 2019. It sucks because I love seeing the dude in a suit, and I'm like, what can you do on a basketball court for us right now? What can you and Luka do in a pick and pop? Because I think that's going to set like pick and roll records in the league for those two dudes. So just think about that. And then a franchise changing their trajectory in this drastic of a fashion in the last 6 months does not happen.
Yeah.
Like think, who in the league, what team, what roster would you rather be in the next 3 to 5 years? Than us.
Yeah, we discussed that not too long ago, how do we get this sexy so fast? If you take us the day before the Luka acquisition, this is a middling, treading water, who knows what direction we're going team. And in the case of not many months, we're now like it's okay. I don't even check the standings. I don't care where they are. Like, sure, you're 4 games out of the playoffs, whatever. Good or not. Don't care. I hate to say, did they win or lose last night? Other than the enjoyment of watching it, I don't really care. Because life could not be better as a Mavericks fan. And that's a weird thing to say when you're a sub-500 team.
Yeah. Right now it's not about wins and losses, except for the actual team. The fandom is interested in Kristaps Porzingis teaming with Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And what that future is. And getting both of them here for the remainder of their NBA careers.
Yep.
That's what people want to know about.
Let me ask you real quick. So the breakout of Luka is the main story. You have a few other breakout players on this team. I think Brunson is a really solid dude showing he belongs in the league. And Dorian Finney-Smith is maybe the best defender and just an all-around pretty dang solid player. But we're all sort of wondering about Maxi Kleba.
Yeah.
And where this dude came from. I thought it was like a make good for the kid who was from Dirk's hometown.
Yeah.
And now it looks like a legit NBA player and a worthy starter.
Yeah, dude, he's on the edge of being an NBA starter, which is insane for a dude that didn't come over until he's 25. And the story behind Maxi is he always had lower body injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So he could just never have a real offseason, never could build strength, never could get to that level of athleticism that he knew he needed. And the three-point shooting's coming along, but that was never there. That was never even in his bag. And now he's talked about it a handful of times. It's like, what is this? What are you? What are you doing? You're blocking three shots a game.
Right.
You're shooting threes. And he talked about it. It's having an offseason to work on his lower body. He just got underneath the squat rack. Started doing mm-hmm. hang cleans during the offseason. Just got more explosive. And that dude, I mean, number one, I love the dude. He's funny. He's super nice. Very accommodating, like fan favorite across the board. And then
that's because they think he's Luca.
Remember?
Doesn't he have a shirt? He has a shirt that says, I'm not Luca.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter Patton, the shooting coach, our shooting coach, gave him a shirt that said, I'm not Luca. So he wouldn't stop yelling at him whenever he's walking by. But that dude's got a skill set that's, I mean, it's not Porzingis level where it's best rim defender in the league and shooting threes, but little baby Porzingis out there
sure.
now. And if you put those two dudes in the court together, like, no one's getting a layup on you. Nobody.
Right.
And everybody else has been, I mean, Finney Smith's been good. Jalen's coming along. You know, he's a second-round pick, so don't make the expectations crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But Maxi is just, dude, he could start for, what, 25 teams across the league right now?
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
So much basketball. I can talk with Machine all
I
day.
Know.
We're out of time. Hey, let's have you in here real soon. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Charlotte and your trip to the All-Star
yeah,
game
absolutely.
And all that stuff. All
right. And I want a whole segment on Ryan Brokhoff, what he's really like.
What's
he really like?
Yeah. The tech disruptor, Ryan Brokhoff?
Yes.
All right, thanks, Machine. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, love you, boys.
I love you back.